This is Coach Chris Holtman. You're listening to Drive the Lane Podcast.
Welcome back to the Drive the Lane Podcast. If you're wondering why we sound so good right now, it's because we are back to business in our high-quality equipment, in-person episodes. It's not a guarantee for all episodes moving forward, but it's something we will hope to do for a lot of episodes. And like always, a lot to talk about today. My Browns look good. Joey's Bears look good.
Incredibly good.
And what do you know? They're playing each other this weekend. Marvin Harrison Jr. did not win the Heisman. I had a brief second where I thought he was going to win, but he didn't win. And I don't think Ohio State played any games last week. Based on Twitter, I can't tell if they...
Oh, that's funny, because I had every person who's ever rooted for Ohio State in my Twitter mentions, so it did seem like they did play a game. So we'll talk about that.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. But let's start off with a little football talk, because we don't do that very often, especially NFL. But we'll do it. Unfortunately, C.J. Stroud got hurt, so concussion. Hopefully he's back soon. But we are back to loving Justin Fields, because we have a love-hate.
Well, the Bears are so back.
Let's just go there. Start with that, Joe. The Bears are back. Fields is back.
Yeah, the Bears are back. Fields played well. It's such a weird dynamic. I don't know if Fields is, like, back. I don't think he ever left. Like, he played well. He didn't play amazing. But the fact that he's just winning games now is just awesome. Like, there's an element of, like, all right, when you're bad and not going to win the championship, like, you should probably tank. But you have to prove to yourself as an organization that you can win, and you need to have, like, a belief that you can win. So, like, you can't tank, and it's great because they have the number one pick no matter what with the Panthers. And then it's like, okay, well, what are they going to do? Is Justin Fields, no matter how well he plays, is he going to be the quarterback? He might not be. I'm not in Ryan Poole's mind. I know that Eberflus is coaching his butt off. He's coaching his butt off on the defensive side of the football to the point where it's like they might bring him back. And if they bring him back, why in the world would they have another quarterback? Just so much turnover. So I don't know. Maybe, gun to my head, I think they take Caleb Williams right now. But that shouldn't take away from the fact that the Bears are back, and if they win out, they're going to be in the playoffs.
It kind of has to do
with a favorable schedule.
It kind of has to do with our topic today in the sense that I think they should take Marvin Harrison with the one. With the one.
No.
Well, you're not getting him. You're either taking him at one or you're not getting him at like five or whatever.
You might get him at three.
But they're not going to have the three.
Trade down to three.
But would you trade the one to trade down to three?
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of options.
And you get the, and then imagine trading down to the three and the Cardinals have the three. And then the Cardinals stink next year and you have their first round pick. It's exactly what they did last year.
Would you rather have Caleb Williams and DJ Moore or Justin Fields, Marvin Harrison, DJ Moore?
I am really okay with running it back. I'm okay with trading down Marvin Harrison with your first pick and then taking the best defensive end or the best offensive tackle that's available. I'm at, you know, five or six or seven, whatever pick they end up having. They might end up having the 32nd pick because they win the Super Bowl. But I would not be surprised if they keep the first overall pick, they draft Caleb Williams, they sit there at five, and they sit there and pray that Marvin Harrison Jr. is there. If he's not there, you take a Brock Bowers, a Joe Alt, the defensive end from Alabama, the best player available, essentially, from there. So I'm very conflicted because selfishly, I'm like biased. Emotionally, I feel attached to Justin Fields. But I truthfully can see both options. I can see a world where they keep the number one pick. They go, you know what? I want the 4 years of a rookie contract at quarterback. We have the most cap space in the entire NFL. We have DJ Moore. There's a chance that we get Marvin Harrison, and we go all in on spending these next two seasons. You know, get a new coach, like every I see that. I really do think Eberflus has to go. As much as he's grooving right now, Big Cat always talks about on Part of My Take, like a world where Eberflus gets demoted to defensive coordinator is probably the dream, because he's a great defensive coordinator. He's proven that. But I could see, I would not argue either way if the other option obviously being, you know, run it back with Fields, trade down Marvin Harrison, Fields, and a tackle or defense, whatever. And you're like, all right, let's give this kid one more shot. Okay, fine. It's just like there is this element of we already passed up on Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes once. Like, let's not do it again. You got Caleb Williams, you got Jaden Daniels, you got Drake May. There are options out there. Drake May does seem like a little bit of a Mitchell Trubisky, which is kind of funny. But
why? Where did he go to school?
North Carolina.
You know what's so weird about NFL?
What's so weird about NFL?
NBA is no team's ever like, you sign a quarterback in free agency. We have all this cap. Like, you're either good enough to get a second contract with the team you're on, or you stink.
Or
like
you don't.
Like Baker Mayfield, who I love.
You have like a 2-3 year tryout.
Right. But no team is
And you're
like,
either Joe Burrow or you're Baker Mayfield.
But it's weird because no team is like in the NBA, you'd be like, all right, we got to move on from Zach LaVine, which is Justin Fields in this scenario, and we may be able to get a higher pick, but also we can wait and Joel Embiid will be the next angry NBA superstar and we can dangle some picks at him. But in the NFL, it's really just you either draft a quarterback or the quarterback you've already drafted is good, which is why teams sit in, like, shitty situations for so long because it is so hard to find a quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely – I guess the Rams did it a few years ago where they, like, built it through free agency and trades. But, like, the Chiefs, for example, they drafted Travis Kelce, they drafted Patrick Mahomes, they drafted Tyreek Hill. Like, it was all built in the draft.
But they did – the Rams beat the
Bengals,
which did the exact opposite.
Right, the Bengals built it in the draft, for sure. So it's –
but even that
can
was
you name another team that was
that
like,
wasn't even free agency. That was a big trade. They traded for Stafford. Yeah, they had some free agency signings. But
yeah.
When's the last time a free agent quarterback
you're right.
Won a Super Bowl?
You're right. It's more like they went all in, whatever that means. Like, whereas other teams – may go all in as like, all right, we got this piece at free agency, and maybe they trade for a safety, which, you know, it doesn't move the needle. It's interesting. I keep going back to, it seems like it's a win-win. Obviously, in both scenarios, right, if the quarterback that you decide to go with stinks, it's no longer a win-win. But, whoa, we're watching the Monday Night Football games. Will Levis just literally ran over Jalen Ramsey. Or Bradley Chubb, because Bradley Chubb just threw his helmet and should definitely get a flag. But I don't know. It seems like maybe this is my positive mentality, whatever. Like, if in each scenario the quarterback is good, it's a win-win. If they're both bad, it's a lose-lose. Obviously, you might have a wrong pick. Blah, 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 blah. I don't know. What do you think they're going to do? Bears are going to win out, but what do you...
I think...
Is Marvin Harrison going to be a Bear or no?
No.
In both scenarios, he could be a Bear.
I don't think he's a Bear because I don't think they're going to take him with the number one pick, and I think they...
They're not. They're going to trade down.
Right, but I think he's going to go 2 or 3. So maybe if he's there at 3. But I think the decision is going to be made for them where essentially they're going to do really well in their next few games, and they're going to be like, all right, we have so much draft capital. Let's take advantage of someone. Let's do this. Let's do that. And let's get, you know, more assets back and keep Fields. Or he's going to look like shit the next few games, which I don't think is going to happen, but that's the alternative. And you're like, okay, that's it. We're taking a quarterback, whether it's Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, like you were saying, Penix, JJ McCarthy. imagine if they get McCarthy and Harbaugh. But that's not going to happen.
But
oh my God, that's the only lose scenario is that would be so funny if Harbaugh gets in there and he's like, I gotta get my guys in here.
Yeah,
he's like,
because you could trade down for him for sure.
Yeah, that was the worst play ever.
But I think Fields is going to kind of answer the questions for them over the next few games.
Or the decision's already been made, no matter how good he plays.
Right.
Anyway.
Well, I think the decision would already be made would be drafting a quarterback.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
There's no way they're like, we are running a back.
We've
with
seen
Fields,
enough.
No matter what.
Oh, okay. How about your Browns? Joe Flacco. Is he elite?
Joe fucking Flacco is absolutely incredible. Maybe he's the best quarterback that's ever been on the Browns in my life. I can't tell you the last time a Browns quarterback had over 300 yards touchdowns and looked that good.
Hold on. Is he the best quarterback like his entire career?
Right now, his skills, I feel way more comfortable with him at quarterback than I did Deshaun Watson all season.
What about Baker when you won a playoff game?
I guess, but Baker wasn't slinging it for 300 yards and 3 touchdowns. Flacco has 5 touchdowns in 2 games. Kenny Pickett has 6 on the season.
I know, that's awesome. That's a great stat.
The best Brown stat, and Flacco's going to get hurt, and this all going to be over in a few days anyway.
Yeah, because they named him the permanent starter.
Yeah, but he has the 3rd most wins in Brown Stadium history behind Ben Roethlisberger and Baker. And he could pass Big Ben if they make a little run. I mean, he is out there slinging it. I'm happy for him. I don't want to talk much about the Browns because it's too good to be true, and I'll jinx something. But they beat a good Jaguars team. And, yeah, Trevor Lawrence was banged up, but he played. It's not like he was limping out there. He played.
He threw 2 touchdowns in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, he played, and he looked really good. And the defense is really good. But they have a lot of injuries, and they're on their 4th string quarterback, which is Joe Flacco. Which is Joe Flacco. I actually think the Browns need a receiver too, and they don't have their first round pick, but if there's a world where somehow...
Is Flacco the quarterback next year? Is that what you're saying?
No. No. They need a wide receiver. But they don't.
What if there could be a way where they could be like, you know what? We're going to give Joe Flacco all of Deshaun Watson's money.
That'd be the greatest thing in the whole world. I mean, Flacco literally 3 weeks ago was playing catch with his kids.
He was watching games in his parents' house.
Yeah, with his kids.
So
throwing the ball out back. I saw a tweet that said he looks like Kevin Stefanski's older brother coming to bail him out of some shit he got into.
I did see a face
mesh
merge of
them,
just
looks like just
Flacco.
Yeah. But it's fun. It's exciting. I mean, I'm sure he'll do some dumb shit in the next few weeks that makes me not like him.
He was so bad on the Jets. Like, this is amazing.
But there was a game when he was on the Jets against the Browns when they were down 13 with 45 seconds left, and they won. But
Flacco,
Marvin Harrison, both the Browns and the Bears, obviously any team, but the Browns and the Bears would very much benefit from him, from his services on their team. He did not win the Heisman. I had a split second where I was like, oh, shit, is he about to win the Heisman right now, even though I knew he wasn't going to. Shout out to Cody Schrader, who came in 7th or 8th, I think. Mizzou running back. Get ready to learn.
He came in 7th?
Yeah. Or 8th. Get ready to learn that name, Buckeye fans, because he's about to run all over the Ohio State defense. Or not really the Ohio State defense. The spring game second string defense. They're gonna put a team out there. It might be Lincoln Kleinholz running the show.
It's got to be Devin Brown.
I think you should be able to start the transfers. Like the second they
Cam Ward.
Yeah, well, he's not coming.
What do you mean?
The rumor is they were never interested in him.
Who's coming then?
Riley Leonard.
No, he's going to Notre Dame.
I don't know.
We're saving that for another episode when there's not stuff to talk
about.
But
I do think it would be cool. Because imagine, well, Marvin Harrison is quote-unquote still weighing his decision, which you said on Twitter. I don't know why they would stay. However,
Trayvon Henderson, I understand.
However, if they actually got him a $25 million NIL deal, which is $6 to $7 million more than he would make next year, he'd have to tear both ACLs to not be a top 5 pick the
Knock
year after.
Wood. Not funny.
I actually think he would still be a top 5 pick if he tore both ACLs.
Listen, here's why he wouldn't do it. Because in the NFL, you're You have to get
to your second
have to get to the second contract, and that takes him 1 year away from the second contract.
Yeah,
1 year further. Just my humble opinion as a sports fan. That's what did LeBron say that one time?
But yeah, just my humble opinion of a fan watching sports. But you're getting more money. He would get more money next year if he gets $25 million than if he was a top five draft pick. Just next year.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think. Because I think you just get your signing bonus, which is like $20 million or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds right. But I don't think there's a world where he comes back. I'd love him to come back. I think Trey Van Henderson could definitely come back. But yeah. I don't think he will either.
Well, Mayan Williams isn't. What are they going to do without Mayan Williams is 3 games a year? He's the best running back in the country 3 games a year. So is Henderson. They're both
the best. If they could combine, we got a Heisman candidate on our hands.
Yeah.
But that we're getting closer to the bowl game. That'll be fun.
I'll be there.
Andrew will be there. I will not. So should we talk about some basketball?
Yeah, the Buckeyes beat Miami of Ohio.
Was on the call?
Joey was on the call. That was the only game last week. There definitely was not a second game against Penn State, who definitely is not the worst team in the Big Ten.
And they definitely don't have – they're in my nightmares. That's a fact. They're in my nightmares.
They've tortured Ohio State over the last 7 years. Is that safe to say?
I think about Tony Carr to this day. I lost to Penn State 3 times in one season. I'm pretty sure that was the only time I lost them in my career. My freshman year, they were terrible. My sophomore year, we won on the road at the buzzer by Jayshon Tate. But
your junior year, they were terrible,
My
too.
Junior year, no, they weren't.
They didn't make the tournament,
They almost made the tournament. They were the 7th seed in the Big Ten. That's not terrible.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we lost them 3 times, and then my senior year we beat them once. I lost them 3 times my whole career in 1 year. Since then, they have haunted Ohio State basketball since that year.
Is the season over for Ohio State basketball? That's what I've heard.
Yeah, so let's talk how we feel first, and then we can address the quote-unquote fans that are out there. Everyone who listens to the show follows me on Twitter, so, like, you saw what I said on Twitter. And everyone was commenting about a lot of different things. But if you read my tweets and thought that I was, like, apologizing or saying that the outcomes were okay and, like, acceptable and blah, 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 like, no, of course not. Like, you can't lose that game. That's a disaster. It's a nightmare. It's the worst case scenario. You cannot lose that game. You can't lose it being up 12 at halftime. You can't lose it being up 18, 15, whatever it was with 15 minutes left. You can't lose it being up 10 with a few minutes left. Like, but here's the thing. I know everyone hates to hear it, but it's hard to win on the road in the Big Ten. For those reasons, because role players step up in the most ridiculous ways at home. They don't do that on the road. You don't get a guy who's averaging 2 points a game scoring 15 like Leo O'Boyle did, who is a white guy wearing long sleeves. You don't get that in the Big Ten at home, only on the road. So I guess my point is that while Penn State is not good, like, yes, they're not good, they're still a Big Ten team that has Division I basketball players that put their shoes on one at a time and wear and have the Big Ten logo on their jerseys. And Mike Rhodes is a good coach, proven good coach. Like, yeah, it sucks, but it's like, this is a bad example, but Wisconsin got throttled by Arizona this weekend. They also lost to Providence by 30 on the road earlier this year. Providence is not good. I mean, like, they're better than Penn State, but I don't know. Shit happens, right? Like they weren't going to win every single game. Is that the game you want to lose? Of course not, and it's not acceptable. But Michigan State's 4-5. Purdue lost on the road to Northwestern. Indiana lost by 100 to Auburn. Like, college basketball, it's not college football. You don't lose a game and the sky is falling. Like, You lose a game in college football, everyone knows the season's over, the sky's falling. For basketball, whether you like it or not, you have to learn from it. This is a young team. Everyone's like, this is same thing Holman does every single year, blah, blah, blah. It's like, there are 12 new guys on this team. Or not 12. But all these guys, this is their first time playing together. This was the first adversity they faced all year. They actually did really well when Minnesota made a run on them. But they hadn't. That was their first true road game. Like, there's a lot of pieces to the puzzle that make it, like, call them excuses, call them whatever you want. Like, the sky is not falling. The season's not over. And, yeah, like, can I sit here and be like, it's not Holman's fault, Holman's not on the court? Like, no. Like, obviously, he's the first person to take all the blame, as he should. And they'll get better from it. This team will get better from it. And if you don't see that this team is great and different, then I can't help you.
You know what I think is a big difference from this team this year and last year? I feel like last year they just... Last year, they just kind of sucked all game in these games. There was maybe a few games where they had big leads and they let it slip. But the real thing last year was they couldn't make shots. They couldn't score enough to be in any game against any Big Ten team. And they didn't have enough players who could get buckets last year. That's not like, oh, man.
Yeah, they weren't as deep on offense.
That's not like, oh, man, this dude gets buckets. I mean, literally, they didn't have guys who they could just give the ball and kind of clear out and they could score, except for Bryce Sensabaugh, who we've mentioned a bunch of times, really couldn't be kept on the floor because his defense was so bad. So what I mean by that is they still showed.
Yeah, it's like, would you rather lose and lose the whole game or win by
right,
or be up
right.
by
they
20
still
and then
showed,
lose?
They still showed for 25 minutes of the game.
More than that. I would say for
30 minutes of the game, they still showed how dominant they can be. It was a bad collapse loss, but there was games last year that they lost where they're losing that whole game.
Yeah, did you watch the first half?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not asking you, I'm just saying, like, people who are tweeting us.
I wasn't saying, yeah, I did, like, yeah.
Like, if you watched the first half, you saw that Bruce didn't have his A game, Roddy didn't have his A game. The best backcourt in the Big Ten, both had 2 fouls and did not play for the majority of the first half. And they scored 41 points and were up 12 on the road. In the Big Ten. Like, that wasn't happening last year. I know it's been a full year since they've won on the road, which is incredible. They will win on the road soon in the Big Ten, I can guarantee you. But I agree with you in the sense that, like, if you don't watch that game, the outcome aside, you can't ignore the collapse. It's terrible. It's a disaster. We know. Not good. They will learn from it. It'll be fine. It's not the end of the world. But if you don't watch that game for 30 minutes, 20, even 25 minutes, and say, oh, yeah, this is one of the best teams Holtman's ever had. This is the best team he's had in 3 years. Whatever you want to say, this team can compete in the Big Ten. Then you're just a hater. You are, like, you have, like, the opposite bias of us, basically. The bias that no matter how well they do, Holtman's a fraud, he needs to be fired, this team's not good.
Well, we saw a lot of those coming in after the game, which...
I want to read them, but, like, I know if I read them more, people will send me more stuff, so I won't, but...
I mean, it was just people who were frustrated, but...
And you have the right to be frustrated, you have the right to be mad, but you need to be level-headed in the sense that, like, I'll keep saying it, that the sky isn't falling, but it's like... The expectations that come along with a college football season, especially for Ohio State, are different than a college basketball season. College basketball is the ultimate sport because on any given night, just about... any team can beat anyone.
Sports are so weird also with...
Yeah, Saturday night was one of those nights where you sit there and you're like, why do I even...
Ohio State sports, they have an unbelievable season in football. They look so good. They lose one game, but it's to Michigan. Everyone wants Day fired. Holtman beats Alabama. They look good. He recruited well, brought in good new guys. But one bad game, everyone says they can't close. You know, it's... People predetermine what the narratives are in a season and for a team, and then they just wait until they have the opportunity
right
to jump on it. No one all year had been. No one said, "Hey, well, you know, you got to give Holtman credit. He beat a." They beat
no
a,
one ever does. That's so true. No, it's that's when me and my I had dinner with my dad before this. Andrew knows it, but we were talking about it. It was like, why is it always? I mean, this is why Ohio State fans suck. Frankly, it's always whatever you do is not good enough, and if you don't do well, you suck. That's like, if you do well, well, you should be doing that. If you don't do well, obviously you suck. Like, be better. And I'm stealing Andrew's thunder here, but there is never any praise for Holtmann. Ohio State was not supposed to be 8-1 this year to start the season. They weren't supposed to beat Alabama. They weren't supposed to, you know, obviously they lost to Texas A&M, but, like, they absolutely competed with them. They beat the shit out of Minnesota. They beat the shit out of a lot of other teams. Like, there's no credit. And then it's like a thankless – it's like Holtmann is an offensive lineman. Like, if you don't give up a sack all game, that's what you're supposed to do. But once you give up a sack, it's like, how can we just attack this guy for being terrible? And he doesn't get any praise. Yeah. But as soon as anything wrong happens, it's like, finally. Finally, I get
to get
off my
takes. Our Twitter is the most active when Ohio State does something shitty, like blows a big game or loses – or blows a game or loses to Michigan. My dad, I watched the Penn State game with him, and he looked over to me and said, I've been an Ohio State fan. He's 50. He's 53. Going to be 54. He looked at me and said, I've been an Ohio State fan for 54 years. This is the first time in my life that I can honestly say I don't think I know a single person on the basketball team. I haven't watched any Ohio State basketball. Not into Ohio State basketball this year. We're Browns fans. I said Zed Key. Said Zed Key still on the team?
See?
So we're
come on, Mr. Dr. Z.
We're Browns fans. We have season tickets. A lot of his sports time is taken up by the Browns this year. Understandable. After the game, he's like, what an unacceptable loss. And I'm like,
come on, man. Did you watch them beat Alabama?
Right, I'm like, that's exactly what we're talking about.
And that is so
obviously,
spot on.
Obviously, who like
at least they didn't tweet me about it.
I don't care that my dad doesn't know a ton about Ohio State basketball. It was just funny because it was exactly what we're talking about. Like, it's people checking the scores or people seeing at one point they were up 15 and then looking and seeing it's close. They have no idea of the flow of the game.
They have no clue.
Also, 15 points is not 30. 15-point comebacks probably happen every single night, multiple games in college basketball.
Yeah. Listen.
But we always say we're the most biased podcast in the world. We
it's a terrible loss. It's a terrible loss. But listen, you go back and you go look at every team's schedule, unless your name is Kansas, Gonzaga, and Arizona. Every other team has given up a 15-point lead. I guarantee it. Also,
Kansas might have even against Kentucky this year when they lost.
It was the reverse.
Oh, Kansas
Kentucky was winning by a lot. Mm. Anyway, we'll pretend like you didn't say that.
Didn't Kansas lose?
No, they beat Kentucky.
No, but didn't they lose because they're not – who'd they lose to, Purdue?
Marquette. Who Marquette is awesome.
I think they were beating Marquette by a lot. That was like the whole big thing. No, that was the Purdue game. Purdue was beating Marquette by a lot. And then Marquette came back.
But then Purdue won.
But then Purdue still.
Which, God forbid, we are like Purdue and can sustain a lead. Like, shut up, God. Ugh. Anyway. Bottom line is, the sky's falling. This guy's not falling, and people need to take a big, deep breath and realize that the season is not over, and they're going to be just fine. I don't know. It sucks, but I'm not worried. And I truly, last year I had to like force myself to be positive. You know, it was like, look for the positives. It's fine. Young team, freshmen are playing, blah, blah, blah. This year it's like, I feel like I'm not worried at all. Like, I think that we have the right coach. I think we have the right players. I think that they get it. I think that they care. And I think they'll learn from it. And that's all you can ask for. So, like, the biggest game of the year is Saturday because it's the only game. It's the next game. UCLA is not that good. We should win that game. When we do, I hope people are excited that Ohio State won a game against UCLA. And I hope fans are like, you know what? This team ain't half bad after all. And maybe the sky isn't falling.
Is Bronny on UCLA?
Bronny's on USC.
I'm just kidding.
Bronny.
I'm with you.
People saw Bronny, people lining up for Bronny's game, and they're like, we have to get Bruce. Or Bryce. Look at what they're doing. It's like, holy cow, guys.
I mean, I kind of agree, though.
He ain't coming to Ohio State.
No, but I mean, I agree that would be a program changer. If LeBron, if
it would inject some juice into the program, that's for sure.
Yeah.
If the son of an in-season champion came, it'd be a big deal.
And MVP. He also was the MVP of the in-season tournament.
Yeah, did Jordan ever do that?
No.
Well, did LeBron ever win a game in college?
No. Bronny did. No, actually,
oh,
they lost. They lost Beach State. All right. Are you calling any games this week, or can we go back to the old ways?
No games this week. 21st against Nolens with
so
my boy
week.
Tyler Danberg
so
on the call,
week.
Which will be very fun. I kind of want to like say right now, hey, we're recording the pod, tweet out some questions, even though we already recorded the pod, just to see people go ballistic.
Do it.
Nah.
Maybe I'll do it from the drive lane.
Should I say, should I have, no, it's fine. I got nothing else. You got anything else? Shorter episode. It's in person. It's nice. We would have had a player as a guest, but they lost.
I do have one more thing.
Yeah.
Buckle up. Drive the lane.
Go Buckeyes. Beat the Bruins.